You are listening to the Beyond the High Road podcast with Shelby Milford, episode number 52. Stay tuned. Welcome to Beyond the High Road. Okay, so any of you guys that actually watch the episodes, I'm sorry to disappoint. Today is going to be just an audio episode because I got inspired while walking my dog this morning. And so here we go. So we're going to be talking about how you were built for this shit. And I'm going to tell you a story just a little later on in the episode about where this came about and why. First, we're going to talk about what might be happening in your mind that would warrant this kind of mindset. Well, I mean, honestly, every day warrants this kind of mindset, but it may be that you're feeling especially defeated or like you're not capable, you know, like you can't do it. I have some episodes. If you haven't already heard, listen to those episodes. There is one actually called When You Feel Defeated. There are definitely a bunch on this, but because this is what we go through so much, I always have new thoughts. So, you know, feeling discouraged, feeling like that's the other one is feeling discouraged hard days. But I found that when we are feeling helpless or we're feeling discouraged, any of the disempowered feelings, many times it's because we're past focused. We're thinking about our abilities as it relates to what we've already accomplished or what we already haven't accomplished. We will cut ourselves short and sort of cause our own feelings of helplessness because of any past failures or any perceived past failures. Your subconscious will shut you down from wanting or attempting to surpass that. You sort of give yourself like a cap, a limit. And so your subconscious will be like, nope, we can't do that. We've already tried. So don't bother trying anymore. So you don't even realize that you're causing your own sickness, but you are by the way that you're thinking because you've been putting limits on yourself. So this is the way we get into that whole helpless trap. If you're looking to your past only to determine what is possible for you, you're looking at what you've already created, then you will only be able to create that much. And when you're looking back there, to say, oh, I haven't been able to do that before. Oh, it's never worked for me before. I've tried that. This has always happened. That's always happened. You come up with all of this evidence to prove that you can't do that. It's so funny how we will fight to the death of us, sometimes literally, in order to defend how we can't do something. You know what I'm talking about? But no, we can't. I've already tried that. I can't do that. This happens, and it'll happen again. And if it does, I won't be able to do it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we will fight like an enemy would fight for us to not be able to accomplish the thing. It's crazy. Humans will do anything we can without properly managing our minds. We will do anything we can to not be wrong. We always want to confirm our own beliefs to our detriment. Look back, notice how you do that. Oh, I've already tried that. That doesn't work. Forget it. And you shut the idea out. And what you'll say is that I just know what works for me and what doesn't. Or I've already tried that and I'm just saving myself time. Or that person doesn't know what they're talking about. They must not have experience. All of those responses are your brain's way of trying to keep you safe, but really what it's doing is limiting you to only what you've created in your past, which means you will never, ever evolve past where you are. So if you're feeling stuck, this is entirely possible that in some way, shape, or form, you are defining yourself by your past only. You can never be somebody new, different, grown, evolved. Because you're looking to your past. Oh, well, I think that I must carry that with me. This is part of me. I was a victim of abuse. This is now who I am. We want to look at everything that's happened. And we, as especially as alienated parents or like codependents, those of us who have gone through what we have, we feel like almost obligated to maybe not disclose everything, but to bring everything with us as if it's our, you know, the scarlet letter that we like we're sex offenders or we're something terrible. Think about it. Like we always think, oh, well, I have to bring that with me. This is part of my history. This is part of my past. And you know, if you've heard me before, that I am definitely not about like ignoring or denying what has happened in your past. But who says we need to focus on and make this part of our identities? You don't have to do that. That is entirely optional. You're not obligated to bring anything that you don't want with you. It doesn't have to define you. And later on, you can decide that it is part of your story and that you don't bring it along. It really just depends on where you are. Your story is always evolving and you can decide what you want to focus on. You know, we feel so like stuck. Life has been defined for us. Yes, in some ways it has, right? We did not choose to have this happen with our children, but that doesn't mean that we don't choose how we view it now, right? But when we're only focused on the events that transpired and led up to now, then you will always be stuck in your past. You will always feel like you have no moves. Instead, who am I? Who do I want to be today? Who is future me? For me, I would say, what does that girl look like? What does that woman care about? What does she walk like? What does she talk like? Who does she speak with? Who does she hang out with? You know, I put my curiosity and energy into my future. That is mine for the taking, right? And is yours for the taking. We put so much emphasis on, oh, but our past is something that we must own and that needs to define us. But what about today? What about your future? Do you not own that property either? Because I would beg to differ. Another way we do it is like when we're talking about, let's say, our kids, there are maybe some avenues to take in order to possibly spend more time with them or in some way position yourself closer to them in one way or another. When we feel helpless or defeated, and we're telling ourselves that it'll never be possible, we'll never have a relationship with them again. What do you do from that spot? Usually you do nothing, you freeze up, right? You don't take any steps to further your relationship with them. You shut down. You deem it completely impossible. And then it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Then you don't take the steps that could make it possible for you to see or connect with your child in one way or another. So then what happens from there is we cause ourselves, we reinforce the belief, right? You already have this belief that it's hopeless, it's helpless, you're helpless, the situation will never be better, and I will never have a relationship with my kid because look at all this past evidence, and now I've just created more evidence for myself because I've shut down and not taken the steps to have the closer relationship. And now what does this cause? Not only a self-fulfilling prophecy, but it causes you to feel shame. So from a place of shame, that's what we don't do. We don't do anything, really. We get nothing accomplished from a place of shame except for beating ourselves up and causing ourselves to, again, reinforce this belief that we are helpless, hopeless, and defeated. The other drawback, this is the more obvious one, is that when we're using our energy on our past, like looking back at all the ways where things haven't worked out, all of your energy goes to that. You are stuck putting your energy into something that you can't fix. As you heard me say last week, solving for things that have already transpired. And so wouldn't you rather take your energy and use it for creating your future? What's done is done. Brush your knees off, wash your hands, and move forward. And I don't mean when I say that wash your hands clean of your kiddos. Those come with you. But the rest of the junk that you don't want, that just... let it go and put your energy where you can actually use it, where you can be productive. It is as simple as that. Just making the decision to focus on your today and what you want to be your future you moving forward. That's it. It's just a decision. And in the beginning, like I said, it'll feel clunky. It'll feel difficult. It'll feel taxing, exhausting. Just push through. I promise you, you will be so happy you did. I promise that. It takes some tenacity and some determination at first. And you're going to think it's not paying off. You're going to think that, is that basilisk? I think I just saw a basilisk. Are there any up in Vero Beach? You're going to think that it's not working. You're going to think it's going to feel kind of anticlimactic, like nothing is really changing for you when you, because you're going to have to make the decision sometimes on an hourly, minutely basis to refocus, re-center your attention on today and your future, right? What you want to create, not what already happened, what you want to create from here, right? Just a redirect. So what helps me, and this is why this whole episode came up, is years ago, I was living in, I remember where, like the streets, like my run at the time, I was training for a triathlon. And I think I was, you know, probably right around 28 years old. I was training now, I remember as I'm saying this, I gave my kidney to my uncle. He donated my kidney to my uncle when both of his kidneys, he bilaterally had them taken out in an emergency situation. They had no idea. He had no idea he was sick. And so both kidneys went out. He was on dialysis all the time, right? Or, you know, many days a week. So I had just given my kidney and I was, this is actually kind of an inspiring story now that I'm thinking about it. I never really thought about it. It's been a while. So supposedly the kidney donor, the person who's donated, feels much more pain and has a more difficult recovery than the recipient. Because I think partly because they have been in so much pain and suffering for so long without having any kidneys, their body is finally feeling released because it's able to clean itself, right? And so it's able to filter as it's supposed to when things are starting to whatever. So they're feeling a great deal of relief. For the person who is the giver, it's not so much. I had an open surgery, so there's a large scar on my right side. They could have done laparoscopically, but there was a reason why, for future pregnancies. Well, obviously, I hadn't had my daughter yet. Anyway, so I had the surgery in October, donated in October, and came home. My goal against doctor's wishes, was to race in an international distance triathlon that February, end of January or February. It was in St. Pete. I was living in Clearwater at the time. And I was very sick for the first 3 weeks or so. And then I was determined. And so I would go on my runs. And now that my whole abdomen, my core muscles had been cut open basically during that surgery, where they cut into like your lat muscles down low, right? And then your internal and external obliques. And then I think even your transverse abdominis. Anyway, your deep, like your major core muscles are cut open during that. And so the recovery is, you know, it's definitely a challenging one to say the least, because you use your core muscles. If you guys have ever had like an abdominal surgery, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. It is like, it is no joke, because like you didn't even realize that you use your core muscles to like pick up a little sip of water, you know, it's ridiculous. But anyway, it was much more of a challenge than I had anticipated, right? This was a very lofty goal that I had set for myself before the surgery even took place. But now that I'd already said it to myself and I'd said it out loud, in fact, I think even one of my friends let the St. Pete Times know or something. I don't even remember really now, like it feels like another lifetime ago. But I had set the goal, and so I was going to make it happen. It was just a few months out after the surgery. So anyway, so I would run every day, or almost every day. I swam quite a bit because the swimming felt good. My swim was going well, but my runs and bikes were not, they were lacking, right? And so every time I would set off for my runs, also my bikes, but I would get this, and I was still to this day, I will get it in hair boards, but I would get this massive cramp on my right hand side. I used to call it the alien. It felt like there was an alien in my belly. Like there was this, my whole core muscle, my transverse abdominis, it felt like, and rectus abdominis, felt like it turned into one big knot. I could actually feel, it felt like, ladies, you know, like when you're pregnant with your kiddo, you know how you felt like a foot or a knee, like in the side. It was like that, except for painful. And so I would get these horrible pains, doubled over to the point where I couldn't, it brought me to my knees, you know, and I would stand up, I would stretch out, I would slow down. And then I would repeat this mantra to myself. It came to me one day. I was like, I can do this. This is what my body is made for. My body was built to perform. I would repeat over and over. I would say, you were built for this. You were built for this. You were made for this. Your body is a machine. Your mind is a machine. as I'm saying it right now, of course, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. I still to this day use it. And recite that over and over to myself, calmly, confidently, knowingly, assuredly. Your body is a machine. It was, I mean, like with every step I took, I would say that you are built for this. You are built for this. Your body is a machine. Your mind is a machine. This is what you were made for. And when I did that, I found myself recenter and like sort of slip into, fall into this beautiful rhythm of a run, of a jog, where I felt light, I felt airy and capable, entirely capable. My steps were longer. I felt, if you guys saw me, like I am 5'2", you know, I'm a short thing, maybe 5'1", but I felt like a gazelle when I was running. It felt so good. It felt so good. And my runs always ended up so beautiful, so serene. It was like this sacred time, this meditative state that I would find myself in after reciting those couple few sentences. And I knew, like I trusted and I believed that I was made for it, that I was going to do it. I could pull through. My mind was a machine. My body is a machine. And I knew that I could conquer it, you know? And I know at the risk of sounding super cheesy by saying I could conquer it, but it's true. Like it caused me to believe in myself. And I don't mean it with vanity. I mean, like I was made by whatever you believe in, creator, made me, made you to be so awe-inspiringly capable of kicking every challenge that we have in the ass and keep going. You were built for this. You, your mind, your body, your emotional being was built for this. This would not be happening for you or for me or for anybody out there if it wasn't already, to me, the way that I like to believe it is that if it wasn't already sort of like written, like that you already have it in the bag. This is your lot in life. And I mean that in a good way, that like this was always supposed to happen. You are an amazing parent. It wasn't that you weren't supposed to be a parent. This is what one of my clients said just a couple days ago, like maybe I just wasn't supposed to be a mom, you know? And I actually have heard that from the dads too. It's like, maybe this just wasn't in the cards for me. And that's not it. In fact, I think quite the opposite. Like many parents could not handle this. Even though you think that you can't handle it right now, and I used to get mad at the fact that I didn't want to be any stronger than I had already been. I was sick of being strong, but I truly believe now looking back that every single event in my life, every single challenge was readying me for this challenge, as I truly believe with you too. It wouldn't be happening if not. And so I know, I fully believe in your, not only your potential to just get by, get through this mediocre ho-hum, like, all right, I made it through that. Hopefully the rest of my life can be smooth sailing from here. I truly believe that you can use this to define you in the best of ways. Yeah, look what I've been through. And I know how much more you could accomplish. Imagine future you having already gone through all of this. And on the other side, and I wonder what he or she is doing now, hanging out up there in your future, right? What are they doing right now? What have they accomplished? What have they taken on, knowing that your future you's mind and body and emotional being is a machine? You were built for this. So maybe, hopefully, you will adopt my little mantra there and use it as your own. And I hope it helps. It's one that I've been saying to myself since I was 28 years old and, you know, came to me at a time of absolute need when I was out on that run. And there was no other way home but for me to walk or run home. One of those out and back runs. And so there was nothing for me to do but make it. So it was pure necessity then and desperation, really. And so I know that it can work for you in the situation of alienation too, as it has worked for me on many occasions since then. So anyway, I hope you enjoy that. Listen, we are going to be doing this next month in the Healing and Reinvention program, as opposed to doing just one class a month. I'm going to be teaching a class each week, and the main class is going to be called World Right Side Up. And so each week we'll go through, I'll teach for a few minutes of the class, and then we'll go into and do the regular group coaching model that we've been doing for the last 8 months in there. So then you'll get your material. It's almost sort of like you'll be doing it with everybody. So starting on Tuesday, the 3rd, October 3rd, we'll do the first class. And then also that will be in your library. Like, let's say you have just a different schedule than everybody else. That will be recorded for you to see for later. And then the next week follows, and you'll have some more material released, and that'll be in your library, like all of your workbook pages. And then the following week and the following week. So I switch up the days that the live classes are held. That way, just adding variety for those of you that can't always make it. And that is that. So World Right Side Up is October. And that is all I have for you guys, my lovely parents. I will see you next week. I will actually see you. I'll go back to videos next week. All right. And dads, y'all are welcome too. We've got another dad in the group already. Y'all are welcome just as much as the mamas. Thanks so much for listening today, guys. I'm honored that you chose to share your time with me. If you like what you've been hearing and you want more, come join me in the new monthly membership, where we take the concepts that you hear about here and, using a logical framework, you learn to apply them to your specific situations, upgrading your thoughts and your life, even while experiencing the grief of alienation. For more information, go to beyondthehighroad.com. See you soon.